paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start to their day today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Doing all right. You know, had a nice night with you last night bowling.
Yes.
And many other people for George Placer's event. So you asked me if I was sore. I'm not sore. I'm a little tired because I came home. I was like, you know, I'm going to go to bed. And then I got sucked into Jameis Winston throwing the ball over the yard, and I stayed up all the way until that last pick. Pick six. The devil. Also known as the devil.
Yes.
The pick six.
I mean, if you could, like, encapsulate the Jameis Winston experience in one game, I think last night's probably it. Throws for 497 yards, 4 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions, 2 of which were a pick six, and they lose. So, like, 500 yards of passing, a total of 6 touchdowns thrown, 4 of them to his team, 2 of them to the other team. What a night for Jameis. And then in the post-game press conference says, I just need the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. He knows he's better than this.
He's amazing. I will say, you know, the Cleveland Browns, the pick sixes and the picks, I know, you know, the last one was, I mean, look, it was a great play, great break on the ball. I mean, they're kind of in desperation mode. Granted, I mean, they needed a field goal, so it's not like you have to take risks. I mean, he turns it over too much. He's incredibly talented, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you watch that game, and, I mean, his arm talent, and, yeah, I do wonder, like, what interest there may be for him.
I mean, you don't just stumble upon 500 yards passing in the National Football League.
Right. It's just like, but it's always the same thing. It's like, if you could just clean up, you know, the mistakes, yeah, I think he just trusts his talent too much sometimes, you know? But there are way worse ways you could go at quarterback than him. And, you know, it just popped into my head. But, like, and I don't even know his contract situation. Was this just a one-year deal with the Browns?
I don't know.
I will check on that. Because, let's take it to the Titans. Let's take it to the Titans and say, you know, what about the idea of him with Will Levis?
Well, you know my thoughts on that.
Right. Obviously, selfishly speaking, yes, it would be amazing from a media perspective. Football-wise, does that make any sense at all?
I mean, I don't think it would be, like, the most popular path for the Titans. Like, I mean, obviously, people are going to want, if it's not going to be Levis, they're going to want a draft pick. But in the scenario we've discussed of, all right, Levis is back next year, but you bring somebody in to compete with him. Like, does Jameis stack up to that? Like, is Jameis competing with Levis for an NFL starting quarterback job at this point in his career? I mean, how old is he? He's only 30, which is kind of amazing to think about.
He's on a one-year,
$4 million.
Yeah, he's on a one-year, $4 million deal, by the way.
Yeah, which is not much money.
Right. I mean, I might command a little bit more. Yeah, they want a draft pick, but that's, I mean, are you picking eighth?
Right.
Do you even like those quarterbacks? I mean, that's where it's like, there are better, you know, if you could get a Darnold, okay, fine, you know, but there, how many people after him are good?
Yeah, I mean, not many. That's the point, right? So, look, I mean, like, to your point, you could do a lot worse. Now, I think you have to know, like, it's not changing at this point of his career. This is basically what he's always been. I mean, when it's good, it's good. He can move the ball down the field. He puts up gaudy numbers. But it's also, you got to know that somewhere in there, the bad's coming along with it. I mean, he's going to turn the football over. I mean, thinking about his last year as a starter in Tampa is pretty incredible. I mean, he threw for over 5,000 yards, led the league in passing. He also threw 30 picks, which is pretty difficult to do.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. I don't know if it's going to be
that
extreme.
That's pretty LASIK.
It is pretty LASIK. I don't know if it's going to be that extreme, but, you know, like some level of what you saw last night is the experience with him. He can have amazing offensive output, and you can have just debilitating turnovers.
Right. Yeah, look, I think at some point you get to where you have to win.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, if you love a rookie, you have a chance to draft one of them. Okay. And you can't count on that person winning for you. I mean, it's just not realistic. So, a lot of this is Levis. It's like, is Levis do enough to be here next year? I mean, I think he's kind of on the way. I think he's pushing toward that. But I don't know that he's pushing toward, it is his job next year.
Right.
You know? And that's where someone like Winston, it could be a bit of a competition. And then it could be, now you've seen 8 more games of Levis, and it's just not quite enough.
Right.
And then at least Winston could give you a spark if the team is somewhere. I mean, you have to get yourself to, like, a 500-ish team.
If I'm a Titans fan, I don't hate the idea of a quarterback competition heading into next year. Like, whether it's with Jameis or somebody else that's a veteran. I mean, the idea that Levis can come back, but he's not just gifted the starting job, I think, like, as we sit here today, if we were making a decision, I'd probably be okay with that if I'm a Titans fan. You know, with the understanding that either maybe you're not in a great position to draft a quarterback you like, or maybe you just don't like most of these quarterbacks coming out in the draft this year. Like, the idea of him going into camp next year in competition with an actual legitimate veteran quarterback is not the worst thing in the world to me. And if he wins it, great. And if he does it, okay.
Yeah. And, it's just how many people make that happen, you know? I mean,
I think the list is short.
Yeah. You know, you'd love to stumble across another Tannehill-like situation. You probably can't count on too many of those. You know, what he did for them for a few years. But I feel like Winston is a candidate for something like that.
I would agree. So, Jameis. I mean, especially if the Lord can deliver him from the pick sixes, then he's going to be in good shape heading into next year.
Maybe he can exercise the pick sixes.
That would be good.
Before he gets here.
That would be good. Joe, the college football playoff rankings coming out. There's a great deal of bickering going on right now on Vol Twitter, and I know that's going to shock you.
No way.
About whether or not Tennessee is going to host a playoff game. And right now, kind of the bickering is going back and forth between either Ohio State fans and Tennessee fans, or some of our friends in college football media and Tennessee fans. I saw Chris Vanini and Ari Wasserman in the thick of it last night.
I saw that. Yep.
With Vol Twitter about Ohio State, Tennessee, and if that's the 8-9 matchup at the end of this thing, who deserves to be at home? Who deserves to be on the road? Ari Wasserman thinks it's pretty clear that Ohio State needs to be the home team.
Homer.
You brought up yesterday that Ubben had currently the Vols hosting Ohio State. How do you view Tennessee, their positioning for a home playoff game, and the argument right now between Tennessee and Ohio State fans as to if they're the 8-9 matchup, who deserves to be at home, who deserves to be on the road?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting discussion. It's a good, close discussion. Should be a reasonable human discussion. Boy, some really interesting question or responses to my guy Vanini here. Poor Chris. Welcome to Vol Twitter. It's like, you piece of
fully baptized into Vol Twitter.
I'm sure he's dipped his toe in once or twice before. I will say that there's those guys said something that I disagree with a little bit, which is like the idea of equating the Michigan and Arkansas losses. I think a couple things that are different. One is that one just happened. I mean, Tennessee's better. These are things that you have to discuss as a committee, and you have to acknowledge Tennessee is better now than when they played Arkansas. I'm not doing the would they beat them if they played again. The whole would this happen or would that happen doesn't mean anything because we got a million results this year where I said, would Northern Illinois win at Notre Dame?
Right.
No, they'll lose by 40. Well, guess what? So, but Tennessee is better. It happened a long time ago. Michigan happened 3 days ago, right? So that's one thing that I think has to matter. And also, I mean, you were at home, and I think that matters too. I think Michigan obviously has gotten better too. So, you know, like they were down bad this year, and I think they've gotten better. But they're still they're a middling team, just like Arkansas. What did Arkansas end up 6-6?
Yes.
Yeah, and Michigan ends up 7-5 with this win. I mean. Very similar level of quality, and one of the teams lost. So I think it was Ari in particular who said the Arkansas loss is way worse than the Michigan loss. I don't agree with that. I think all these SEC and Big Ten teams in the middle, shake them up, put them in a bag, pull one out, and they're not that different from each other. So and also, I mean, we're nitpicking one thing. Now I will agree with what one thing Ari said. Which is that Ohio State has better wins.
Yep.
They have,
which is ultimately why I think they're going to be at home.
Yeah, I mean they have. You know, they basically have two wins of real significance, and Tennessee has one.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it kind of comes down to just how much this really bad performance betting lines. You know, I don't know. I'm sure the committee would say hell no. We don't talk about that, but. I mean, they were a 23-point favorite at home against Michigan. So, and I don't know what the line was, but Tennessee was not a 23-point favorite at Arkansas.
I don't think they were even a double-digit point favorite
at
Arkansas.
I mean, like, so.
If memory serves me correctly.
So, how much do you knock Ohio State for just a clear, terrible underachievement at the end of the year, costing you a spot in the Big Ten championship game? I mean, I think that's. You know, just how much does this performance hurt them? I mean, it's the last thing we saw. Recency bias is a thing here. I mean, granted, sometimes it's just like, wow, great win over Mercer, Alabama. Let's shoot you up the rankings.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's real close. You could still argue that Ohio State's resume is just a smidge better because of those two wins. Indiana, an impressive over Indiana, and then obviously, winning at Penn State. Winning at Penn State is good. I mean, Penn State could end up being the number one seed here in the playoffs.
They could.
You know, so keep that in mind.
What's going to be interesting is if they lose, particularly if they lose by a significant margin to Oregon, like what happens with them? Because then they have two losses as well, same as Ohio State. Ohio State beat them on the road, and they don't have really a good win. So, they're going to be in, but where do they fall? At that point, is going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, another one that's, everybody, if you think about it in terms of a lot of teams are really hoping for Clemson to not win. And I'm sure, I know we're not probably the biggest Dabo supporting show in the land. But if they win, SMU is going to fall, right? So that's another team that first of all, I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, that might be the best of both worlds. Yeah, you may not like Clemson, but if they win, and I think that probably takes Bama out of it. And then, let's see, I'm looking at Heather Dinich's projection. She doesn't have Bama in it right now. God, Miami, man. I don't know. But
I don't think Miami's getting in.
But if Clemson wins, gets the auto bid, SMU then drops. So Tennessee still stays. They're still making the field.
Yeah.
And then Alabama might be out. That might be kind of the best. Best case scenario, right? Get Bama out of there, and there's another team you could move past in the pecking order and, get a home game.
Yep. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the college football playoff, where Tennessee is going to end up slotting in this thing, plus some comments from Brian Callahan yesterday regarding the quote-unquote hangover that the Titans had against Washington. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Jeff wasn't the only guy that has such a level of success that guys have trouble dealing with coming out of it.
No, not at all. I mean, that's the no. We, you know, as I even said when I last week, is you know, it's one win. We haven't arrived. We haven't done anything that would require us to have to worry about that. And all we're trying to do is stack good weeks together. And I thought we were on a good trajectory, a big win on the road, and to come out and play the game the way we did was just disappointing. To go down in that game early and not be able to come back. And yeah, there's no part about anything that I feel or our team should feel is that, you know, should have an issue dealing with that. And again, that's after the game and in the heat of the moment. But yeah, we shouldn't have had any issue.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday at his Monday press conference reacting to what Jeffrey Simmons put out there after the game on Sunday, Joe, that maybe the Titans a little hungover from the win in Houston, not dealing with success the way that they should, which we talked a lot about yesterday. It's like, really? You guys won one game. Is that the success that we're talking about here? Did not seem like Brian Callahan was a huge fan of those comments. Now, he did got him multiple times in his press conference yesterday, Joe. Basically, without totally saying what I said yesterday, kind of allude to that, whereas, yeah, it's a post-game press conference, and sometimes they're just trying to get out of there. He didn't say that, but he kind of alluded to that and how they haven't watched the film, and sometimes they're just searching for answers that they don't really have in the moment. But I did find that quote interesting from Brian Callahan yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, like 90% of post games for losing teams, I'm probably low on that. It's probably like 98%. Like, there's at least somebody who says, well, it wasn't anything they did. It was us.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, the answer always has to be – the answer can never be, yeah, that team's just way better than us and kicked our butt.
Right.
You know? Like, that can't ever be the answer. The answer always has to be something is wrong with us. We have something – again, it doesn't have to be something all that deep, but it's something we did wrong. We didn't execute. We weren't ready, all that stuff. But when you start getting into we weren't ready – or, yeah, we were hung over from success, which is hilarious, with the one win. Then it's like, wait a minute, what? And, of course, and look, sometimes I have seen coaches, certainly seen that too, where it's like I could tell all week, right? Like, or whatever, yeah. Bad basketball, you know, the last couple of days, practice was bad. We played just like we practiced, all that stuff. So is Callahan one of those guys who at some point the team plays poorly, he comes out publicly and says, yeah, I mean, I don't know, because he does generally seem to keep it positive. I mean, I think back to Vrabel, who mostly wouldn't say much about anything, but, like, I remember, I want to say it might have been the loss to the Texans at home when they shouldn't have lost and, like, Malik had to play. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
It would have been 2 years ago, but he was all of a sudden went off on this whole, yeah, you know, got some 9-to-5 guys,
yeah.
Right? Stuff yeah. like that. I think one thing Callahan said yesterday that it just makes sense to me is, like, you know, we made errors and they took advantage and they went through the whole thing, like, then they scored, you know, this and that happened, made some errors, execution errors. You go look at the film, it's like, is it like everybody's like, ooh, still thinking about Houston, or did you just go in the wrong gap? Did you read it wrong? Did you not communicate? You know, it's execution. Now, you gloss over. He did kind of gloss over. Then they scored. Then they scored again. Then they scored. You're like, yeah, at some point your defense probably could have, like, done something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was an overall just
– lack of pulse.
Yeah. It was an overall poor performance there by the defense that probably goes a little bit beyond a mistake here or there or good execution by Washington. It was bad. But, I mean, I generally agree with – I mean, I'm on his side kind of in terms of – yeah, players say stuff. You know, there's got to be some reason. And frankly, Jeff is just, he's one of those guys. And he just kind of, you know, Jeff doesn't really get into, like, wanting to. Again, I'm going to go back to, like, Kevin Byard. He would sit there and break it all down for you and, like, from any angle you wanted to. And you're like, yeah, you felt like it was the truth,
yeah.
You know? And that's just not what you're going to get from Jeff Simmons.
Well, and, you know, if you're Callahan looking at this, you know, he also said yesterday that he did not detect or pick up on anything throughout the week that would lead him to believe that the players were just sitting there like, hey, all right, we beat the Houston Texans, we're good. Like, he basically was like, ah, yeah, I didn't pick up on any of that throughout the week. So that's when he got into the errors that they made. He mentioned starting off the game with penalties, and then obviously you're turning over the football, and two touches of the football, two turnovers in a row, and they march right down the field. So I hear what Callahan's saying there. I said it yesterday. Like, if I'm a Titans fan and I hear those comments from Jeffrey Simmons, like, that's pretty alarming if that's the case. And if there are people in there that were all caught up in what they did against Houston and think that that's some sort of arrival or statement of where they're at right now, then that's not very good. And quite frankly, the more I watch Houston play, the more I'm convinced that maybe they're just not very good. So there's that that's involved with it as well.
They're hungover from last year.
Yeah, exactly. So, it always comes down to the execution part of it first, right? Like, very rarely is just a team sleepwalking through an entire game in the NFL. But, man, it was bad. Like, he talked about the run fits, and apparently the run fits were just all out of whack with them when he goes back and looks at the film. I mean, I hope it's as simple as that. We just didn't fit a run properly basically all game long.
I mean, it had to be true at some point, because I'm like, how is he – you could drive a truck through that hole, right? There's some of those plays. Again, they are heavy gap scheme. They pull a guard, and it's just sometimes it's just like blowing someone out of the way.
Yeah.
Physically getting beat, but I mean, obviously there's also some mistakes in there too, right? Sometimes you have a call and the call goes, the call doesn't work out, and that happens too. But Jared from Spring Hill says, if Simmons said it to be true, that it's true, is the only one on the team left who knows what winning feels like. Yeah, okay. I get that that's true, but again, players after losses, a lot of times it's you're finding some reason and you're just saying something to get out of there, which I think has been true of Jeff a lot.
Also, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is a winner. Let's not throw that out there that Jeff's
not. Yeah, he's not. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's others. Yeah, you got him. There aren't too many more.
Traylon Burks got drafted, and they went 7-5 in first place, so they fired the GM.
McCreary was there, too, for that. So, but, yeah, there aren't too many. I guess you go back to – well, wait, was Raiden's rookie on the 21 team that was a one seed? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, by golly.
Got all kinds of winners.
Yeah, winners galore. No, but, look. The hangover thing, I mean, the follow-up with Jeff is, okay, so then was the preparation bad last week?
Right.
Like, to me, the hangover is probably more like, oh, my God, we're down 14-0. Oh, we fumbled. Okay. We're hungover from the crappiness of the first 10 minutes of the game, and now I put my head in the toilet.
Right.
That's more likely than Houston, yay! It's just words that to me.
I would agree with that. There was also, Kuharski was on a mission yesterday. I'll give him credit. All the questions that we talked about with him yesterday in our interview, he brought up with Brian Callahan, including the cold, which apparently was a factor in this game. He brought that up with Brian Callahan. We'll get to that answer coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
That was a pretty average weather day for a November, December outdoor NFL football game. Were you alarmed to hear Jarvis say that he thought guys weren't ready or didn't deal well with the cold?
Yeah, of course. That was alarming to me. We practiced in it all week. We were out there all week. It was colder here at practice than it was in the game. Again, if that's the case, that to me sounds like that's an excuse. But no, that was about as fair weather a game as you could possibly ask for in December. So I can't comment on where that would have come from, to be honest, Paul.
That's Brian Callahan.
How alarmed are you? Sound the alarms!
I loved it. PK throwing the questions out there yesterday to Brian Callahan.
Yes,
Coach, are you alarmed of how cold it was?
Yes, Paul. Let me placate you by answering that, Paul. Well, Jarvis Brownlee is from Miami, right? So it's cold for him. All right. So Jarvis is cold. So get an extra heater, you know, all right, extra couple layers for Jarvis for the games, and you'll be fine. Again, this goes in the same category to me as Jeff said. It's just you're coming up with, okay, you're just coming up. It is. Excuse. Or just,
I understand that. You got to come up with something better.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's dumb.
You got to come up with something way better than, well, you know, it's cold out here today.
No, it's just like,
we're
what?
We're prepared for that.
Do we have the exact, do we have that from Jarvis by the chance?
I don't think we do.
Because I would like to hear, you know, like, did he really make a thing of it, or was it just like mumbled into another answer? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then it was cold out there, and yeah, we made some mistakes. Or was it like, guys, the seas were rough that day. You know, I mean, I kind of need to know exactly how much of a deal Jarvis actually made of it. But, yeah, it is, you know, team gets its butt kicked. Team does interviews. Some guys say stuff that's like, what, really? And then the coach has to answer for it, like, yeah, and then Kaharski asks if he's alarmed. It's a beautiful rinse and repeat.
He said, I think the exact quote was, we let the cold get to them. There you go.
What?
Good news for Jarvis Brownlee is, I mean, you got home games in December coming up, and you never know here, right? Like, you know, in 2 weeks when they play the Bengals at home, it could be 20 degrees. It could be 55 degrees in December around here. You never know. Same thing. I mean, I haven't looked at the forecast for this Sunday. I can pull it up right now on this device that I have.
Yeah, I think it'll be
58 degrees.
Like, oh,
it's gonna
really?
Yeah, it's going to be fine. Might rain a little bit, but it's going to be fine on Sunday. So after that, you're indoor against the Colts. You're going down to Jacksonville. It ain't going to be that cold down there at some point. And then you got a home game on January 5th against the Texans. So you're kind of throwing darts against the wall here in Nashville. But you're not going to, like, you know, Buffalo or Green Bay or anything to close out the season. So Jarvis should be fine.
I mean, imagine if they do. We have to keep an eye on that for the future. You know, if they get one of these, like, real cold weather places in December. Just count on Jarvis Brownlee going on IR, like, right before that happens.
Keezer has the clip. Let's hear what Jarvis Brownlee had to say after the game on Sunday.
There we go.
That was down in the first quarter. So, I don't think guys was locked in anymore. I think guys let the cold get to them. Because, I mean, I'm a Florida guy. I don't like the cold, but I know what comes with playing in this profession. And sometimes, you know, you're going to have to play through things that you don't like. And I think guys let the cold affect them today. You know, a lot of guys ain't going to say it, but that's what I think happened.
Oh, boy. Maybe that's a little worse than I thought.
He went a little deeper than that. The seas were rough that day, my friends.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I appreciate him hating it. I get it. Actually, the Titans should trade him immediately to the Dolphins just to continue to perpetuate that narrative, you know. Then the Dolphins can continue to have guys who actually can't stand the cold.
Make sure all games start at 12.
Yeah, that's right. He said a lot of guys won't say it, but, dude, it was 40. Like, right? Like 43 or something.
A lot of guys.
Wear a long sleeve shirt.
A lot of guys aren't going to be as open with you media people as I am. The cold really got to us there. We were talking about it all game long on the sideline.
We were huddling together. Just,
you guys ever seen the ice bowl? It was nothing compared to this.
We had a breakout of the flu, influenza, on the sideline. Then we had some chicken soup. And what? I mean, like that. Like as we were talking, I was just about to bring this up. I'm looking at the TV and I'm seeing idiotic Christian McCaffrey with his sleeveless out in the snow running around. Again, let me just say this as a take I've had before, but I will give it again. If I owned a football team, I would say when the temperature is freezing or below, I might even set it 40, you are mandated to wear long sleeves on this football team.
Why is that?
Because it's stupid. No tough guy crap with your bare sleeves. Oh, good. So it can hurt more when you hit somebody? Put long sleeves on. That's what you're doing on my football team. And then the other guys can't blame you for being soft. I'm making you do it.
It's 25 degrees the other night in Green Bay and snowing. Quarterback out there sleeveless.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
I did look at the TV and I was like, everybody else, whatever. Jordan, why don't you go put some sleeves on?
Yeah,
so,
come
throw
on.
The ball.
Get out of here. I respect the guys who are like, screw you, idiot. Here's my sweatshirt. I'm going to hit you, and I'm going to feel a lot better than you do with your bare sleeves, tough guy. God, it's
Ben
so
Jones would not have liked playing for you.
Yeah,
you
well, that's you
he
know
walks
what?
Barefoot on the field.
I know.
It's 5 degrees outside.
I would have fined his ass all day long. Just, but yeah. So you have those scenes, and then you got the Titans and Commanders in somewhat seasonable weather. Titans not willing to admit this is really the story. It's the weather.
Well, I need to go back and look because I don't remember. But like, did Jarvis Brownlee have sleeves on in this game, or was he going sleeveless and this was just the end result of
it? So there you go. That's another thing. That's the thing. If you are going to bring up weather and then you didn't protect yourself with clothing,
yeah.
I really have no sympathy. I'm sure he had.
All right, now that I've heard I read those comments, but that's a kind of a situation where reading something and then hearing it are two very different things when it comes to Jarvis Brownlee there. Like, I would love to see, like, the first time Brian Callahan saw that clip, what his reaction was. He's like, oh, my God. Did he really say that? It's 40 degrees outside.
Well, he probably said, great. So the rookie said, whatever, and now Kaharsi's going to ask me about it.
Yep.
Can't wait. Yeah, by the way, I'm looking at the clips, and yes, he had sleeves on. So,
okay.
Good.
There you go.
Good. That's good. If you're going to talk weather, at least protect yourself against the weather.
Yep.
Good. I mean, yeah, that's what this is, though. It's a rookie being like, weather. Yeah, it's sure.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, he seems to – these guys aren't going to tell you, but I will.
That's true.
The weather, big problem for us today.
Actually, you're right. I want Kaharsky to investigate further this week. Jarvis, who told you anonymously that the weather was – we don't have to name them, okay? But who told you – who admitted to you that it was really the weather?
How many players were talking about the cold on the sideline?
Yeah. Burr. What?
That really is an incredible quote.
Lose enough, and you start really scrounging.
Yeah. Well, the good news is it's going to be 58 on Sunday here in town, so they should be fine. I mean, it might rain a little bit, so maybe, you know, wear some sleeves to protect yourself from kind of a cold rain, a little drizzle that could be out there. But 58 degrees, the current high, according to my weather app on Sunday.
So I guess my kid's dream of a snow out is – that happened last night. You know, as you know, Mike Organ fooled Caroline into thinking that school was called off today. guess that's not happening for a while, huh?
I mean,
wow, we're going to get into the 60s next week.
I've seen less than what we got last night. It's cancel school around here before.
Well, that's true. I mean, we're going to get to 60 on Monday. So, I mean, this we might be looking at a Pro Bowl level performance from Brownlee on Sunday. his play rises and falls with the weather.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. We're going to have basically a Predators State of the Union starting at 7 o'clock. Preds fans, we want to hear from you, the airing of your grievances with the 7-12-6 start to the season for the Predators. We'll have that coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Tito's Mexican Restaurant, known for its vibrant flavors and festive atmosphere, bringing the heart of Mexico to Middle Tennessee. Enjoy mouthwatering tacos, sizzling fajitas, and delicious enchiladas, all served with a side of authentic Mexican flair. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have our Nashville Predators State of the Union, is what I'm calling it, coming up next to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So we'll take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Will Levis, we talked about his performance yesterday. Completion percentage wasn't great, 18 of 37. Receivers had a tough time catching the ball for him. In this game, too, he got hit 9 times, was only sacked twice. So some progress there on the Levis front yesterday. But it's now 4 games, and Callahan talked about this yesterday. He was asked, you know, what he thought about Levis, how you evaluate Levis in a game like that. Said he, you know, thought it was the 4th game in a row where he's built on what he's done the previous week and continued to progress at the quarterback position. And you know, yesterday the game was over before any of this really even started to matter. I mean, it was 28-0 before he had even really done anything on the offensive side of the ball. So it's a little bit of a different game, I think, as a whole to evaluate from Levis. Certainly different than the previous three were when they were at least in it throughout the whole thing. So you have to take that into account when you're having this discussion. But it is interesting. Like, I was wondering about this. Like, if we took a straw poll from Titans fans right now and said, all right, season ends today, which, as you know, one of my favorite arguments, one of my favorite sayings in sports. Season ends today, and you're forced to decide whether Will Levis is your starting quarterback next year or not. If you're Callahan, if you're Carthon, which way are you going if season ends today? And, I don't know what my answer to that is right now. I mean, you asked me 4 weeks ago, it's unequivocally no. Is it still – am I still leaning no? Probably yes. But I think he certainly made it more interesting. And I think it's now to the point, Joe, where all these other factors in terms of your quarterbacks in the draft, the free agent options, we talked about Jameis to begin the show. All of those things, I think, factor into that discussion now, whereas before – you had to go get another quarterback to me. And I think, to his credit, he's played himself into that. I would love to know what Titans fans think of that, because I've seen right now they're on both sides of the fence in terms of the people who are out on Levis, I think, are still staunchly out on Levis. And then I think there are some people that have kind of swung so far the other way where, well, see, Levis hadn't been the problem the whole time. It's been everything else around Levis. And that's kind of where this conversation has drifted on social media.
Yeah, and look, they're even through the bad stuff, there were some loyalists who were like, it's not him, right? So, of course, they're like, now they're doing the I told you so thing. Yeah, I understand, been accused of, not taking a stand. But I can't take a stand on this right now. I'm in the middle. I'm just going to be honest. Like, if the season ended today, okay, so you have the 7th pick. Yeah, that's part of the formula. Part of the equation is, what's your evaluation of the quarterbacks coming out in the draft?
Yeah.
Can you get one? Do you care to get one of them? Do you believe they're good enough? And can you get one of them? Okay. But so you're drafting 7th. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if, like, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, those guys. I mean, usually quarterbacks end up drifting to the very top of the draft, right? Because the worst teams are up there.
Usually.
I mean, like, Carolina might get the number one pick. They might also, by the way, be drifting toward, okay, this kid can play, yep. And now they don't use it for that. But yep. That's part of it. Like, if I had to say season ended today, I think Will Levis is on my team next year, and then it's just a matter of, is he on the team with a drafted rookie? Is he on the team with just a backup like this year, and you just give him another year and say, you showed progress, show more. This is the prove-it year. That's what I predicted going into the year.
Yeah.
And it's still overall lower in terms of performance than I expected from this year. But the last four games collectively, I mean, you look at all the numbers and what I've seen, yes, he had the pick six against Houston. It's not been perfect, but that if you had a whole season of that, then that's exactly basically what I predicted. Like, it's pretty good, enough good to keep it, but you're not like you're handing him the world after this year. We know that's not happening.
If he had a whole season like he has played the last four games, just in the aggregate, then I don't think we'd be asking the question at the end of this year who the starting quarterback for next year was. I also don't know that we would for sure say, well, he better get his bank account ready because the next contract's coming his way. But I think it would be enough to where you would be intrigued about next season, and if he took another step, what that could mean for him as a long-term quarterback. The interesting part of this is, like, how do you – let's say this – and we've talked about this for the last couple weeks – let's say this level of play continues throughout the rest of the season. How do you balance that with how bad it was to start the year? Like, how do you kind of weigh that on the scale? And, you could take that a couple of different ways. I mean, you could take it as, well, it was a new situation. He was horrible in some of his decision-making. And Brian Callahan coached that out of him, and when he settled in, this was the result, and it was a lot better. You could have that approach. Maybe that's the right answer. I don't know. It's just interesting when you talk about how bad it was to start and where it is now. How do you weigh that at the end of the year? If this is what it continues to be down the stretch.
Yeah, I think it's a good debate right now. I think so. What you said, that may be true. I think there's also just some he finally figured out on his own. Like, I just have to stop doing this and this and this.
Yeah.
You're like quarterback. All quarterbacks throw picks. All quarterbacks throw pick sixes. They cannot be delivered from pick sixes completely. Okay, but. I think that it's just, there's five games left, so you do five more like this. Then I think it's easy. I think what you just said is it's hard to argue against it by then, right? You do five more games of generally this, which is solid quarterback play.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I think he learned from it, and he probably got more comfortable in the system, got more comfortable with the personnel, got more comfortable with Callahan. They did some things to help him. The coaching work, again, the whole reason Callahan has the job is quarterback development and his experience with great quarterbacks, right? So five more games of that, I think what you said is absolutely going to be the narrative and is the most likely answer. Right now, with four, it's kind of like, let's see. There's still, to me, a wait-and-see element here. I know some people are decided one way or the other.
Craig on the text line says, we have so many holes and the problems are all over the team. Just bring Levis back. There isn't a franchise-changing quarterback in this draft. Fill other holes and get a quarterback next year if you need to. I think that's a very popular sentiment. I just wonder, like, if the Titans agree with that. What if they believe there is a franchise-changing quarterback in this draft?
Yeah, we don't know that there isn't a franchise-changing quarterback in this draft. Sure, the overall class is not superstar class, but again, go to the years when they had superstar classes and find the bust. You'll find a bunch of them. So the Titans, that's what matters. I mean, are these guys making the decision? As far as I know they are. But if they are, then what do they think? Because again, they absolutely need to be approaching the draft like they are taking a quarterback.
I agree. If you don't, then that's fine. But I think you certainly – there's not a situation where you don't at least look at that this offseason, right? Like, you've got to do your evaluations on these guys coming out. And maybe you do come to the conclusion that Craig has thrown out there, and you're like, not especially in love with any of these quarterbacks. And if that's the case, then I would implore the Titans not to take one. Like, if you don't want to force it at the quarterback position. So if that's the case, do not take one and either figure out a solution in free agency – or have Levis the starting quarterback of the team next year.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and draft another one and then start this whole clock all over again.
Yeah. I mean, the teams that are like, gosh, we just need a quarterback. Let's try this guy. Well, those are the teams that stay bad.
Yeah.
Someone's saying trade for Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields, I do think like you watch the Pittsburgh Steelers this year with a great OC hire, by the way, and Arthur Smith and what they have on offense. And I'm constantly with Justin Fields like, I see it. Yeah, almost. But then you see what Russell Wilson's doing with all the same conditions, and it's kind of like, Justin Fields is probably a backup in the NFL.
Yeah, I think the more times he plays, I think the more evidence that kind of mounts on that side.
I mean, again, like with the Bears, I mean, look at the difference with Caleb. The complete bleep show that franchise is, and yet still look at like the quarterback difference from him to Caleb Williams. Pretty vast.
It's pretty stark. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into the Nashville Predators coming up next. Preds fans, we want to hear from you. The airing of your grievances. The Festivus here on Robbie and Rex Road of the Nashville Predators. 7-12-6 on the season. They're in a rough spot right now in the standings. We'll get to the reasons for that. Is there any way out of this? How do you reconcile what we've seen on the ice for them to this point? Your thoughts on all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.